All right. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Guiding Lights. I want to say happy July, but it's been July for a whole week now. Today's the 8th, but I just now noticed that I hadn't turned my calendar over. So I just turned my calendar over, and I have a new pretty picture that I didn't have before. So it feels like a whole new month to me because I have a whole new picture on my What I'm to do before we begin looking at the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi is play a song. And this song is one you'll all be familiar with, I think. It's from The Wizard of Oz, which Jay mentioned this morning in the weekly gathering. The name of the song is Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And in this case, sung by Eva Gabor.
You didn't dream.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? It's kind of no fun to even talk after that. It was so beautiful. But I will talk because that's how we do things here in Pal Talk. That's why it's called Pal Talk, right? We talk to our pals here. So hello, pals. I am here for the guiding light. And during the guiding light right now, I am sharing from the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi. And today I am beginning a new section, which has a scary name. If you were just looking at the name alone, maybe it's called Mind Control. Mind Control. The very first question in this section is, how can I control the mind? So let's just, I was going to share an answer, but I happened to, well, I'll tell you what I was going to say. I was going to say we don't really control the mind. What we do is pay attention to where our attention is. You know, if you want to use the word control, we're really controlling our attention. We're not controlling our thoughts, right? We're controlling where our attention goes. We're making a decision about where I want to place my attention. But I glanced at Ramana Maharshi, and I noticed that he is moving in a different direction. So let me read the question again and share Ramana Maharshi's answer. After all, this is this is really his teaching time, not mine. So the question is, how can I control the mind? And Ramana Maharshi says, there is no mind to control if the self is realized. The self shines forth when the mind vanishes. In the realized man, the mind may be active or inactive. The self alone exists, for the mind, body, and world are not separate from the self, and they cannot remain apart from the self. Can they be other than the self? When aware of the self, why should one worry about these shadows? How do they affect the self? I remember reading this particular question and answer at an earlier time in my life and being very confused because he says the self shines forth when the mind vanishes in one sentence. And then in the very next sentence, he says, in the realized man, the mind may be active or inactive. That doesn't confuse me anymore. Because what I have noticed in myself is that the mind is often very active. Without getting any attention from me, without getting any belief from me, without being taken seriously. My mind can chatter about things. At once upon a time, I would have been completely engrossed in it and believing it. And, of course, having emotional experiences as I listen to it. And now I simply see it as the mind chattering. I literally give it no more meaning than that. And it can say one thing in one moment and something that's the total opposite in the next moment. And neither one of them, neither side, gets any credence from me. I have heard masters say that the mind does go completely silent. And I like the sentence here that says the mind vanishes. I've also heard people say the mind doesn't ever go quiet. And I think that because I want a silent mind, because I want a silent mind, I have given more value to the teachings that say the mind does go silent than I have to the teachings that say that the mind never goes silent. And so I appreciate what I'm reading from Ramana Maharshi right now, which basically says when you're self-realized, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the mind goes silent or if the mind does not go silent, because you really give, he calls them these shadows, no credence, no value, no attention at all. You know, one thing that we all do every day is we filter our experience. You know, right this moment, if I was to start attempting to give full attention to everything in my experience, I would notice more things than I could sit here and list. You know, there are sounds that I hear, like a bird chirping outside. The air conditioning coming through the vent. Of course, my own voice. There are feelings, like I feel warm around my shoulders because I have a shawl on. My belly feels full because we had a cookout today. My lips are kind of dry. I don't know what to say about my skin. I can feel my skin, but I don't know what word to use to describe it. I can just tell it's there. I can feel my hair touching my skin, my feet touching the floor. There's actually an itch in the middle of the arch of one of my feet now that I'm paying attention. So now I got to scratch it. I wasn't even noticing the itch before. There's all these things I can visually see. There's my telephone, a book, a lamp, a roll of tape, Jamie, speakers, computer, wires, microphone, pictures, books, printer paper, pictures on the wall. You know, there's so much stuff that our senses take in every day. And what we tend to naturally do is we filter out some of that. We filter out or don't really pay attention to everything in our environment. And in fact, this is why, you know, we've often talked about, you know, when you do start to pay attention to something, when something becomes important to you, you start noticing it in your environment. So, for example, if you decide that you're going to buy a Ford Mustang, suddenly you start seeing Ford Mustangs everywhere. It seems like everybody has a Ford Mustang when up until you decided to buy one, you never noticed them, right? The reason they were never noticed is they were kind of filtered out. They didn't have value. And once they began to have value, they were no longer filtered out, and there were Ford Mustangs everywhere. Well, the mind, we can see the mind is just another part of the environment. Just like I cannot notice Ford Mustangs on the road, or I cannot notice the sound of the air conditioner coming through the vent, or I cannot notice every single visual detail in my office, or even not notice the feeling of my skin or the itch in the arch of my foot. I cannot notice the mind because it's just become so unimportant. And when the mind is not noticed, I suppose it is, as Ramana Maharshi says, it could be active or inactive, and it is equally irrelevant. And maybe even as experienced as equally silent. Not that it's physically silent. You know, if you have an active mind, it's not physically silent. There are thoughts passing through. but it has absolutely no effect on you. So in that way, it's silent, because it's the sound that it makes is meaningless. So again, the question was, how can I control the mind? But you know, it's funny because in the teachings of Inner Ramana, there's a line I'm kind of remembering right now where he says something about, I can't remember the exact sentence, but something along the line of, it's as easy as losing interest in it. It's as easy as losing interest in it. So how can I control the mind? Ramana Maharshi says, there is no mind to control if the self is realized. The self shines forth when the mind vanishes. And maybe another way we need to see this is the self shines forth when the mind ceases to be important, ceases to matter, ceases to interest you. In the realized man, the mind may be active or inactive. The self alone exists. And we've talked about exist before, that word, what that term means. Exist means is on its own power. We could say has reality and certainly has the value of reality. So if the self alone exists, and especially, I mean, this would always be true for both the enlightened and the ignorant. But for the enlightened, the self alone would be valued as existing. Where with the ignorant, they value the mind as if it has existence, when it doesn't. There is no mind to control if the self is realized. The self shines forth when the mind vanishes. Again, I'm thinking of vanishing here as, you know, when I lose interest in the Ford Mustang, they seem to vanish from my experience, right? I suddenly don't see Ford Mustangs everywhere anymore. I used to have a Honda CR-V, and I saw Honda CR-Vs everywhere. Now I have a Toyota 4Runner. I never, hardly ever notice a Honda CR-V. I'm sure there's just as many there, but they vanished for me. They no longer mean anything to me. They're not a part of my experience anymore. So vanish could also, again, just mean removing value from, no longer giving credence to. There is no mind to control if the self is realized. The self shines forth when the mind vanishes. In the realized man, the mind may be active or inactive. The self alone exists. For the mind, body, and world are not separate from the self. And they cannot remain apart from the self. Can they be other than the self? So my experience is that what we call consciousness or what we call awareness is absolutely primary to every experience, and it completely permeates every experience. For example, if you pick up something right now, anything at all, I've picked up a little tube of chapstick. And if you just kind of spend a moment experiencing whatever it is that you've picked up. So I'm kind of taking the lid off of the chapstick, putting the lid on the chapstick, rolling it around in my hand, feeling it, looking at it. But if you pay attention, let's start but with a sense of seeing. If you pay attention through the sense of seeing, you will notice that what actually sees through the sense of seeing is awareness. Awareness is aware of seeing and seen. But awareness is the foundation of seeing, and therefore of seeing. Without awareness, there would be no seeing, and there would be no seen. No seeing and no seen. The same thing is true if you feel the thing that is in your hand. You know, at first, if I'm not paying attention to awareness, you know, I may think that I feel the chapstick in my hand, the chapstick tube. But if I really pay attention to awareness, what I notice is that the sense of touch that the body has, whoops, I just lost Pal Talk. Let's try this again. I'm attempting to restart Pal Talk. All right. Logging in.
Through God. And welcome back, Regina. The mic is yours.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ken. So, as I was saying, if I'm holding this chapstick tube in my hand and really not paying attention to awareness, I may think that I feel this chapstick tube. But if I really pay attention to awareness, what I notice is the sense of touch in the body is what feels the chapstick tube. Like if the body didn't have a sense of touch, I couldn't feel it. But I notice that awareness is aware of that sense of touch. Just as awareness is aware of seeing and the seen, awareness is aware of the feeling of touch. It's aware of the feeling. And also aware then of what is felt. But awareness is actually the baseline, the foundation. Without awareness, there could be no feeling of the sense of touch or anything felt, right? So what Ramana Maharshi says is the mind, the body, and the world are not separate from the self. And in fact, the self is the foundation and it is the, I'm trying to think of different words than we use every day, which is why I'm pausing so long. Because, you know, we just use these same words over and over. And I think when we use words over and over, they cease to have the same impact. So I'm looking to see if I can find another word. But, you know, the self or awareness is, yeah, they get stale. Yeah. So the self or awareness is obviously the foundation of any experience. And by that, I mean, if awareness wasn't first, there could be no experience to be aware of. Right? But it is also, I guess this is the word I'm going to use, it's also the quality of every experience. You know, awareness is the quality of every experience. You can't have a mind, a body, or a world without awareness. So, when we're aware of awareness in a self-realized type of way, we are aware of the foundation and we are aware of the quality of all experience. And we're aware of it in a very clear and intimate and powerful way. So that although the mind may continue to talk, the body may have aches, stuff going on in the world, it's all somewhat incidental compared to the awareness of self or the awareness of awareness. Which is why Ramana Maharshi goes on to say, "For the mind, body, and world are not separate from the self, and they cannot remain apart from the self. Can they be other than the self?" And then he says, "When aware of the self, why should one worry about these shadows? Because the foundation and the quality of all things is so primary and intimate in experience, and everything else is at least secondary and mostly incidental. How can they be bothersome? I mean, they come and go, yes. They may be seen or not seen, just as I may notice or not notice Ford Mustangs on the road, because there's just so much, the mind filters out something, right? But they're incidental or at least secondary, even if it's something that requires my attention, you know, like something that I do need to deal with. It is secondary to the value that is placed on the constant. This thing that comes and goes is secondary at best to the value that is placed on the constant. You know, like we had this situation in Colorado, and we still have a situation in Colorado, but, you know, this situation of this fire. And this fire was not a distant experience for me. You know, like I've heard about the Sacramento fire. I've heard about the Durango fire, which was distant for me, but not distant for Craig Holiday, right? Well, the spring fire, or the Spring Creek fire, they call it the spring fire, was not distant for me. First of all, I was there when it started. I noticed it as soon as it started. I watched it grow. I watched it come so close to where I was sleeping. Well, in fact, the first night, I would wake up choking because of the smoke. Because I was in a little cottage without air conditioning, so my windows were open. So I would wake up choking in the middle of the night because of the smoke. And on the second night, it came so close that we really felt just to leave, to evacuate. So we left at 9 p.m. in the evening and came back to my house. Even here in Pueblo, we've experienced the smoke. But then, as you know, at the same time, we were just preparing to make an offer on a house. And then this fire started, and the people that were living in the house we were making an offer on were moving to another house. And for a time, were felt 95% certain that their other house had burnt and therefore they would not be moving. You could say, for a number of reasons, this fire was not distant from my experience, right? It was a definite part of my experience. And it's certainly not something that I see carelessly. I mean, I realize it has affected a number of people. I'm quite aware of that. 130 or so homes that I heard last have burnt. But I can honestly say that throughout that entire experience, the fire was incidental compared to the constant, compared to awareness, compared to isness. Because there's an absolute knowing that the fire came, the fire was going to go, and life awareness, just as it was before the fire, would continue to be after the fire, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. Everything in manifestation comes and goes. And as we become more aware of the constant, and as the constant comes into the foreground of our awareness, it becomes obvious that everything else is temporary and does not affect us, and therefore, to some degree, even if it's being dealt with directly, like evacuating and changing plans regarding offering on a house, etc., all of that becomes incidental. And the funny thing is, and this is something that can't be explained to anyone, the only way to understand this is just to live it. When everything else becomes incidental or secondary at best, and what really matters is the self, that's when this joy bubbles up. And it's joy that I can't explain. People will tell me, they'll say things like, I'm becoming aware of awareness and I'm noticing that it's just constant all the time and it just seems kind of blah. And I don't know what to say to people when they say that except, just keep going because that's just not true. I mean, just keep going. The one that's calling it blah is still the mind. That's still listening to a thought. The mind is saying this, without the drama of the world, it's boring, It's not. And the only way to find out is to keep going. And Ramana Maharshi has explained to us before why it's not blah. It's because our nature, the nature of the self, is happiness. Mind says it's just numb at first, Lynn says. Yeah, our nature is happiness. So when we're really experiencing our nature as the front of our experience, then happiness is there too, because they're one and the same. It's not that we're happy because we're aware of the self. It's that the self and happiness are one and the same. Yeah, the joy just bubbles up unexpectedly and without cause. And it's also experienced as contentment. When the fire was, like I said, the fire is still happening, but it has slowed so much. It's not at all like it was in the first week. In the first week, it was eating up 10,000-15,000 acres a day. I mean, it was just like, oh my God. And I saw some of this happen. Norma and I were in cottages there and we saw around 8 p.m. on Thursday night, because the fire actually started on the other side of this little mountain range. And so we saw at 8 p.m. on Thursday night, the very first flames that had come up the top of the mountain, and they were right at the top of the mountain. And 30 minutes later, I wish I was exaggerating, but I'm not. 30 minutes later, Those flames had come down on our side of the mountain range and totally consumed. Ah, Paltok is quitting again. Totally consumed four mountains is what I was going to say. Waiting to see if I can get into Paltok again. Doesn't seem to be cooperating quite so quickly this time. Let's try it again. Ah, here we go. Woohoo! 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 Uh-oh. Nope. Didn't work. Just check my internet connection, but my internet connection is showing up strong. All right, we're in.
And Regina's back again. Regina, here's the mic.
Yeah, I'm having an interesting experience with Paltok tonight. I keep getting kicked out, as you guys are seeing. But as I was about to say, you know, we saw those flames cross over the top of the mountains, and within 30 minutes had come down completely onto our side of the range and totally consumed four mountainsides in 30 minutes. I've never seen a fire move that fast before, and I have seen fires before. So for the next few days, you know, after witnessing this and by seeing how quickly this fire was moving, you know, I was checking the news, the local news at like 6 in the morning, noon, 5 p.m., and once I think I also checked it at 10 p.m., but usually I'm not awake that late. But I was checking the news three times a day. And the reason I was checking the news three times a day is that it was moving so fast that the news changed dramatically. You know, it wasn't repetitive. You know, there was something new to share. And again, you know, we were considering making an offer on a house. And, you know, there were just things I felt to pay attention to. So I was paying a lot of attention to this fire. And at the same time, another way to describe it is that the fire was just something happening. Hear the word just in that. It was just something happening. It didn't have the weight or the value of the constant. Because the constant supersedes the temporary. And that's obvious. Right? So even something that appeared to be getting so much attention was still just something happening. So again, how can I control the mind? There is no mind to control if the self is realized. The self shines forth when the mind vanishes. In the realized man, the mind may be active or inactive. The self alone exists. So you see, exists. I mean, maybe this isn't clear to everyone, but active or inactive, and let's go ahead and pick the word active. Let's ignore the word inactive for a moment. Let's say the mind is active. The self alone exists. Active is of lesser importance than exists. The mind at best is active. That's the best it can do, is be active. But the self alone exists. Do you hear the value hierarchy in that? One has importance. The other is irrelevant. Active is irrelevant. Exists has importance. So in the realized man, The mind may be active or inactive, but the self alone exists. For the mind, body, and world are not separate from the self. Remember the seeing and the feeling exercise we did a bit ago, where the foundation of both seeing and feeling is awareness. And the quality of both seeing and feeling is awareness. So the mind, body, and world are not separate from the self, and they cannot remain apart from the self. Can they be other than the self? When aware of the self, right, when that's the primary experience, the primary intimacy, the primary attention, the primary focus, right? When aware of the self, why should one worry about these shadows, these incidentals? How do they affect the self? So again, he's not really teaching mind control, even though mind control was the name of this section. He's saying the mind is an incidental. And the way that you realize that the mind is incidental is by bringing awareness forward in your awareness. Of course, we all know you do that with self-inquiry or awareness watching, awareness meditation, which for me are one. Self-inquiry is the tool I use to bring awareness into awareness and to keep my attention on it. The devotee asks, if the mind is merely a shadow, how then is one to know the self? And of course here, Ramana Maharshi is using symbols. He says the self is the heart, self-luminous. And the reason I say he's using symbols is because, again, heart is just a symbol, right? Heart is just a symbol. Obviously, you know, if we look at the physical heart, or even the feelings that sometimes are called the spiritual heart, they are both objects within the self, known by the self, right? So the word heart here has to be a symbol, but, you know, it's the heart is different from the mind. So in that way, it's a good symbol. But the heart represents what the mind can't know. The heart can know what the mind can't know. That's really the symbol there. So Ramana Maharshi says, the self is the heart, self-luminous. Illumination arises from the heart and reaches the brain, which is the seat of the mind. The world is seen with the mind, so you see the world by the reflected light of the self. The world is perceived by an act of the mind. When the mind is illumined, it is aware of the world. When it is not so illumined, it is not aware of the world. If the mind is turned in toward the source of illumination, objective knowledge ceases and the self alone shines as the heart. Now, there's more to this answer, but I need to stop right there. So, the illuminating quality that lights up the world and allows us to see and experience a world is the self. How do we know that? Well, we played with that a minute ago. Remember, pick up something. I'm picking up my chapstick again. Look at and examine the something that you picked up. Really notice it. Now, seeing is occurring because we're looking at it with our eyes. but what's aware of the seeing and the seen? It's awareness. And if there was no awareness, could there be seeing or could there be seen? And the answer is no. Right? No, there couldn't be. It's an absolute requirement. So awareness illumines or lights up the world so that we can experience it. You've heard the saying, you are the light of the world. The you in that sentence is the true self. Awareness. You are the light of the world. Without you, there would be no world. So what Ramana Maharshi is saying is that the mind experiences a world, but the light that makes it possible for the mind to experience the world is the true self. And then, so when the mind is outward focused on the world, right, it is still experiencing the true self, although it's not aware that it's experiencing the true self. Because when the mind is outward focused on the world, like if we use the fire for an example, if I'm completely consumed by the fire, right, if I'm completely involved in that and not at all aware of the self consciously, you know, maybe I'm worried that their house is going to burn down and therefore we can't make an offer on their house and their other house, and I'm worried, right? I'm still aware of the self. I'm just not aware that I'm aware of the self. How do I know that I'm still aware of the self? Because the awareness is required for me to experience the world. The awareness is required for me to experience my thoughts about the world, and the awareness is required for me to experience the emotion of stress and worry. So the awareness is primary to every single experience I'm having, whether I'm aware of awareness or not. So awareness is always experienced by all beings, and in fact, it cannot be taken out of the experience. It is the primary quality of every experience. So when the mind is outward focused on objects, on the world, on thoughts, we may not be aware of awareness, but we are still experiencing awareness. But then he goes on to say that when the mind turns inward and is no longer paying attention to the world, no longer paying attention to thoughts, then it knows the self alone. It knows awareness alone. And again, that's what awareness watching, awareness meditation is all about. Right? So let me read this again. Again, he's using the symbol of the word heart. That is just a symbol. He says, the self is the heart, self-luminous. Illumination arises from the heart, or we could say from the self, and reaches the brain, which is the seat of the mind. The world is seen with the mind. So you see the world by the reflected light of the self. The world is perceived by an act of the mind. When the mind is illumined, right? With the light of the self, when the mind is illumined, it is aware of the world. When it is not so illumined, it is not aware of the world. Right? So when the mind is not illumined with the light of the self, there is no awareness of the world. An example of that would, of course, be deep sleep, or maybe even when we're put under with anesthesia, right? If the mind is turned in toward the source of illumination, here comes our awareness watching awareness. If the mind is turned in toward the source of illumination, objective knowledge ceases and the self alone shines as the heart. He continues, the moon shines by reflecting the light of the sun. And of course, we're all aware of that, that the moon itself does not actually have a light like the sun does, right? So we look out and we see a full moon, for example. We're really looking at the sun's light shining on the moon without the shadow of the earth, right? And that's why it looks like a full moon. So he says, the moon shines by reflecting the light of the sun. When the sun has set, the moon is useful for displaying objects. You know, especially a full moon, right? I mean, you can see pretty well by the light, quote, the light of the full moon, but it's actually still the sun shining on the moon. And then that light shining down so that we can see, right? So the moon shines by reflecting the light of the sun. When the sun has set, the moon is useful for displaying objects. When the sun is risen, no one needs the moon, though its disk is visible in the sky. So it is with the mind and the heart. The mind is made useful by its reflected light. Right? It is useful, just like the moon is useful at night to see. It is used for seeing objects. But when turned inward, it merges into the source of illumination, which shines by itself. And the mind is then like the moon in the daytime. It may still be there, but it is not needed to see, because we see by the sun's light or by the source's light. So again, the mind may be active or inactive, but the self alone exists. When you have the light of the sun or the light of awareness to guide you, the mind is incidental, whether it chatters or not. Just like the light on the moon is incidental in the daytime. You may still look up and see a moon, but it's completely incidental when you have the light of the sun. That's a great analogy, don't you think? He then continues, when it is dark, a lamp is necessary to give light. But when the sun has risen, there is no need for the lamp. The objects are visible. And to see the sun, no lamp is necessary. It is enough if you turn your eyes toward the self-luminous sun. Similarly with the mind. To see the objects, the light reflected from the mind is necessary. To see the heart, it is enough that the mind is turned toward it. The mind does not count. And the heart is self-effulgent. Is that how you say it? Effulgent. It's like, to me, it's like flaming light, right? Self-effulgent. And I think a bright, bright light is effulgent. I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but let's go ahead and look up the definition. Effulgent. Could be saying it wrong, because, you know, I wasn't raised with big words. Effulgent. It looks like effulgent. Shining brightly or radiant. So, to see the heart, it is enough that the mind is turned toward it. Then the mind does not count. Right? It does not count. And the heart is self-effulgent. I remember a story. I didn't experience this directly, but when my brother was very young, like I think probably 4, he walked in on my mom in the bedroom when my mom was changing clothes. And he goes, oh! You know, he goes, oh, I see you! You know, because she was, I don't know what level of changing clothes was happening, but she wasn't fully dressed. My little brother goes, oh, I see you! My mom goes, oh, Roger, you don't count. And he goes, yes, I do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That reminds me of the mind. If you tell the mind, oh, mind, you don't count. The mind's like, yes, I do. But actually, it doesn't count. Not when we're focused on the self. When the self is our primary experience, the mind is still there. The world is still there. But the awareness has become primary, not the mind. The awareness has become primary in our experience, and they just don't count anymore. So the mind can chatter and be absolutely meaningless. So that's where I'm going to stop, because that takes us to another question. And I actually won't be here for the next 2 weeks. Next week, I'm just going to a play. Ron bought tickets to go see Les Miserables because Jasmine loves Les Miserables. And, of course, she's home for the summer. And he asked me if I could go, and I just said, yeah, so I am. So next week, I'm going to see Les Miserables with the family. And then the week after that, I will be flying back from Oregon. But the week after that is the 22nd, and during my teaching time on the 22nd, 7 p.m. Eastern, is when you're going to have the special member meeting anyway, where you meet those who are going to be on the ballot for the trustee election. So next week, I will ask Ken to play a Guiding Light audio. And then the week after that, you will have a special member meeting. And then I'll be back on the 29th, and we'll go to the next question in this section about mind control. All right, y'all. Thank you for hanging out with me, and I am releasing the mic.